B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, August 28, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Complexity released their entire roster. Oof. We're going to talk about that. Plus, we're going to get to know One Shot Girl. That's coming up today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with a very difficult conversation and an equally difficult video. We talk a lot on this show about the way that violence and video games are interlinked, intertwined, whether or not they're related. It's been a popular topic of discussion, not just on this show, but in the media all around. And I had stumbled onto a video courtesy of Unilad earlier this week. Yep. That really gave me some pause, and I had to bring it to the show to you guys today because it gave me a gut check moment that I haven't had in a long, long time.
Yeah, Nate, you sent me this video at like 9 o'clock on like a Tuesday night or something like that. And usually if you send me a message at 9 o'clock at night, something has gone horrifically wrong.
Right. So this is a video where a young man is being arrested.
A teen.
He's got his mother with him, but he's being arrested for what he posted on social media. And I feel like that's the only setup that we can give here. So why don't you go ahead, Robbie, and play the video.
He's a little boy. He didn't do anything wrong. Yes, he's 15, but he's still a little boy, and he's not one of the crazy people out there doing stuff.
So we have clearly a distressed mother and police officers.
I vow to bring my father's M15 to school and kill 7 people.
Okay, so that's the message that he posted on social media that brought the cops to his house. He vowed to take his father's gun to school and kill specifically 7 people.
Yep.
That's a specific and pointed threat.
Mm-hmm. Which is a felony.
Which is a felony in an area that has been inundated with threats, both real and perceived. I mean, you can also hear the pain in the mother's voice.
Oh yeah, she's horrified.
Because how do we know he's not going to be the kid from Parkland? He's not going to be the next kid. The kid that
you have to follow up with threats like this.
You do.
So when you withdraw the attention to you by making these statements as they may be jokes.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the thing. The police are forced to take this very seriously given the current political climate, given everything that's happened recently. They have to, and now this mother is in maybe the worst scenario possible.
You could say stuff like that all the time. It is a joke to them. It's a game. It's so wrong.
Okay, and I understand that this mother is going through pain right now, but calling it a joke or a game is really just kind of deflecting the responsibility, especially after you've seen the amount of horrible violence that has been perpetuated because of threats like this. You know, these threats, some of these threats are ignored on social media and then horrible things end up coming out of it. Now, I gotta side with the police on this one. They have all of the justification in the world to be rolling up at this kid's house and putting him into handcuffs. But listen, I gotta share with you guys the moment that stopped me cold. This really gave me pause and made me reflect on the role of video games in the conversation about violence.
It's a tough situation. I know you're emotional.
High intellect and smart mouth.
Well,
and you know what? The grown-ups on these games goad them into these things, which is what happened.
You need a roof over your head, food, and water. He doesn't need the game.
That's right. He doesn't.
You should take those away because these adults that are influencing may have done that in the past, but guess what? They're not in trouble today. He is because he made those statements. We can't put on what they've said in the past to give him justification why he said what he said, ma'am. He made the charge. He's going to face the consequences.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
No, and see, here's...
This is real. This is so real.
Here's the biggest thing. And number one, the officer and really in the mom in that statement are absolutely right. There are adults who are the, you know, creators of your 4chans, your 8chans, you know, a lot of these other internet subcultures, or even just in casual chat in video games, that will make certain jokes, use certain keywords, key terms that will incite kids to sort of join in on this kind of stuff.
Right.
And the problem is that everybody puts it in this realm of, oh, they're just playing video games, so whatever. And I wholly reject that sort of stance, because the first thing when we played the clip where she started, he's just a little boy. No, he's not. Everybody in this room has been 14, 15 years old before, and we've all made mistakes. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But at the same time, I'm almost absolutely sure none of us have gone online and made a very specific pointed threat to take somebody out with our father's arms.
I agree with that. However, I also know that the landscape has changed a lot since even we were kids.
Like, absolutely. I
mean, what we faced at 14 or 15 years old is vastly different than what a 14 or 15 year old faced.
The stuff that people have said and continue to say and perpetuate online has existed for the entirety of the internet. This is not a new thing.
No.
Online chat, none of this is new, bruh.
And honestly, you know, we frame this as, you know, a video game's role that they play in violence and perpetuating violence. And my concern here is not in the violence rooted in the video game itself. It's not in the content in the video game itself. It is the communication tool that underlies online video games that allow anybody, sight unseen, to have direct connection and direct conversation with your child.
This could technically happen in literally any game with a voice chat program, including something like Minecraft.
Absolutely.
Or anyone who's connected to Twitch, or anyone who's connected to YouTube.
Or Discord.
Modern era where communication is so easy. When we grew up, you know, the 90s, you know, at the end of the day, the media that you consumed until the, you know, the early 2000s when the internet started to really proliferate, you know, it was all behind the shield of the FCC or something like that. That what you'd see on cartoons, on TV, on radio, it was all somewhat separated.
Sure.
In the modern era, there is no barrier for entry, or a very minimal barrier for entry.
Norse, to the point that I think Joe was trying to make, because you're right, none of this is new, but when we were, you know, 14, 15, the ease of access to online and the amount of ways that you could get into someone's life online increased dramatically.
That is a million percent true, because, you know, when we were growing up, it was a lot of AOL chat rooms.
Yep.
And bulletin board message boards, you know, email.
And that's not to say there wasn't a lot of garbage in there, because there totally was.
Yeah. But to have someone, and let's be honest, talking, speaking, the act of speech, what I'm doing right now is a far more intimate way of connecting with someone than we, I think, at times give credit for.
Well, but the part that, again, is really sort of making me feel the wrong way, raw about this, is sort of this deflection that I feel, the immediacy to get the responsibility off of this kid from the parent, not so much from the police, but the immediate of he's just a boy, he's somehow innocent, he's somehow been listen, I understand how powerful some of this stuff can be, but at the same time, I also feel like there has to be more of a direct conversation from other gamers pointed directly at teens, saying that is stupid.
Oh,
and
totally.
You will be held responsible for it.
Well,
and I'm not hearing that. That's the point that I'm saying. I'm not hearing that.
I think that there is a real willingness not to talk about something like this. Like, I feel right now our Twitch chat is dead silent. I feel like I'm gonna get messages on Twitter about this segment later tonight. You know what I mean? I feel like there is a real willingness not to be honest about this subject, because then we all in some way become a little bit culpable here.
Yeah.
We become a little bit responsible, because how often do we talk mess to some kid who just killed us, who is actually legitimately better at the game than we are?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's not even trying to form a legitimate relationship with that person or inject any ideas into their head.
I mean, but
that's just trash talk. And I'm sorry, but this makes me much, much more reflective of how I interact with people when I'm in an online scenario.
Or refuse to interact. Because if you're in something and you hear it going on and you just decide, I'm going to just leave the chat and not be a part of it.
Yes, and not
there
call it out. And
there we go.
Yes, I think everyone has a responsibility here that when you hear something like that in a game or in a lobby that you're a part of, that you call it out.
Dude, I was playing a game of League on stream for this show, and somebody throws out the N-word casually in the chat because somebody wasn't playing well. And in the chat, my first reaction is, okay, that's not, we not doing that. You can talk all you want about this kid's style of play or lack of skill or whatever, but we don't have to take it to that point. And that's what I'm saying, is that gamers, I feel, have for decades been very, very, very complicit, or at the very least have turned a blind eye to how widespread this kind of stuff truly is.
And how damaging and how toxic it is.
Yes. Xbox Live chat, oh, it just is what it is.
So often it's made a joke. This isn't a joke. And we see the consequences of it played out in this family dynamic. This mother's heart is breaking.
This kid's going to face a felony.
This kid is going to jail for sure. And that, to me, is worth reflecting about. We want to hear from you. What did you think of that video? Did it move you? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Even if you didn't like what we said here, connect with us anyway. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to get to know One Shot Girl, a streamer and content creator for Fortnite. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Complexity has released their entire roster following a lackluster performance, and that is really scummy. We're going to talk about it ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Complexity's Dota 2 squad has been blown down to the foundation. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Complexity apparently did not do terribly well in the second half of their season. Their squad failed to meet the requirements to qualify for the international, and for their performance, they've all been fired.
Yeah, so we need to talk a little bit about this, because Complexity Gaming obviously went into this year with a lot of high expectations on them. They were supposed to be one of the better rosters, and they really struggled to find the composition on their team that was going to work. They experimented with a bunch of different players, a bunch of different lineups, and it just never really came together. In the second half of the season, they didn't make it to the international. They watched from the sidelines, and basically, you know, the day after the international was over, Black Monday, you know, the equivalent for the NFL, their whole roster was released, and their complexity is rebuilding from the foundation up.
Okay. Now, one of the reasons that I think it's really important to talk about something like this is because this is something that absolutely does not happen in traditional sports.
Not at all. I mean, listen, we all are, well, not all, but we live in a town that is not very great for sports right now, which is Detroit. And we've seen one of our professional sports teams not win a single game in an entire season, yep, being the NFL's Detroit Lions.
Yep.
A lot of people from that team came back the next year. The vast majority of that team from that year was back the next year.
Now, to be fair, the size of a football team and the size of an esports team are not exactly
drastically different.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a football team has, what, 70-some players on it when it's
done?
Yeah,
you talk about a practice squad.
5 to 6.
Right,
sure.
Yeah, there's a big difference between, you know, an esports squad with maybe a couple of subs,
yeah, maybe
that
seven,
are in the background.
Players.
Right, yeah. And then you've got, you know, an entire battalion.
Yeah. We'll say they drop their first strings at least.
Exactly. No. A lot of those people came back, and it would be equivalent.
Back, yeah.
It would be the equivalent of that starting lineup.
Of blowing out your entire starting
getting
line.
Getting rid of them.
And that is also, as you had pointed out, Norris, also fairly unheard of when it comes to professional sports. I you know, like this notion that this is just normal, that this is just a normal thing that happens in esports, that needs to be, that attitude needs to be taken by the throat. Honestly, I think that this is the most detrimental thing to the growth and legitimacy of esports in the wider sports ecosystem.
Well, I mean, think about it, Joe. You're a big fan of Double If. You're pretty much a fan of whatever team Double If ends up on.
Sure.
Now, how much of a fan of, let's say, TSM would you be had he still been with TSM?
I would be a sizable TSM fan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's how fandom usually works for most people. There's a player that they resonate with or a style of play they resonate with, and they stick with that team. That's their team. If geography is not the issue, because
Sure. Obviously
you root for your home team.
Right.
But if that's not an issue, that's how you resonate with fans. And when you start to see players to the caliber of somebody like Double If, the most decorated player in the history of North American League of Legends,
yeah,
he's played on multiple different teams.
Sure.
And so there's no way for people to sit there and there's no way for people to connect on a long term with a lot of these brands because you're seeing so much turnover.
Well, let me ask, is this similar? Because we saw something like this happen also in the Apex Legends space just earlier this week. We saw 100 Thieves release their entire Apex Legends roster and exit the space entirely.
Yes,
they're getting out of the space.
This is different. That is because
that space
Apex
doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
That is because Apex didn't live up to the promises that they did, kind of made.
I would say the promises that were hoisted upon them.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's more fair because I think that there were a lot of organizations that saw the potential in Apex and maybe jumped the gun in terms of recruiting players. And I think 100 Thieves, in their release of their squad and saying, we're done, we're not even going to make a play at Apex, that is an entirely different story altogether.
So let me ask you this then. I mean, because in traditional sports, your contract is guaranteed most places that you go. Now, you may not be guaranteed a starting spot. They may at some point release you, but they generally still have to pay you
the money.
Yeah, they're going to pay you the money that they wrote down on the contract.
Does esports need to go that route?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Resoundingly.
Big time. I mean, when we hear stories again and again about people not being paid on time, when we hear stories about entire squads being released, and this is the thing. Unlike 100 Thieves and Apex, I just want to be very, very clear about this. Complexity has every intention, as far as I understand,
yes,
to reform their Dota 2 squad.
Correct, yes.
Okay, that's the problem that I have. I think it dumping an entire group because they didn't perform up to your standards is both short-sighted, and I think that it presents a lot of really problematic aspects that are being reverberated saturated across the esports spectrum.
No, 100%. And I think also what goes along this is that when you look at some of these players in the esports space, if you're released from a team, there's a much greater chance of you not being picked up by somebody else than there is in traditional sports with a much larger infrastructure and apparatus to catch some of those players. If you were a starter for somebody like the Detroit Lions or the Bengals, there's still a chance that you could go be on the bench for somebody else. But when you see the same thing happen in esports, some of these players you may not hear from again ever.
And I think what we're going to need to see is we're going to need multi-year contracts is one thing with guaranteed money in them. But the other half of that is I think that players should be paid a bonus when they win tournaments. I don't necessarily think they should be guaranteed all their prize money. You are playing for your organization at that point. If you are going to be given something like a guaranteed payday effectively and a contract over the next few years, I think the other half of that is you don't get to keep maybe all the prize money. You
say maybe scale back the prize pools, but put that more towards the guaranteed money.
But that really puts the orgs in a very difficult position because a lot of these guys are operating off of startup money, hoping that the sponsorship comes down the line.
I agree.
And that's a very dicey way to run your organization if you're not supplementing that income with tournament winnings.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the organizations would be able to take more of the tournament winnings at that point, or you would hope that's how it would work. I think what we need to get to, though, the only way this is ever going to happen, I'm afraid, is with a work stoppage. I don't feel like you're going to see major changes happen until there's some sort of organized labor, right?
And we come back to the union aspect of this. As you said, organized labor. The ability to have leverage over the people who are paying you and in order to have an equitable work environment. I think that that's fair. And that's been sorely needed and lacking from esports. We want to hear from you. Do you think that esports athletes should band together and unionize? Or do you think that, you know, maybe the orgs will have their best interest at heart? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get to know One Shot Girl. She's a content creator and streamer for Fortnite. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Nerd Radio and Geek Culture Congress, visit bpodstudios.com. And catch him here live on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Joining us now is One Shot Girl. She's a streamer and content creator for a bunch of games, including Fortnite. One Shot Girl, welcome into Checkpoint XP.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So as a content creator for Fortnite, you know, the Fortnite World Cup just went down in New York City, and I got to get your general impressions and opinion of how the event went.
Oh my gosh, I just thought the World Cup was amazing. I mean, from the production value, and I got to see that firsthand since I played in the Pro-Am. So I was up there on the World Cup stage, and it was just incredible. And, you know, everything from the production value to the competition to the prize pool, I just thought that Epic did such a fantastic job with everything.
Definitely. So, you know, speaking of that, you know, as a streamer and content creator, competitor as well, how do you feel about Epic's support of Fortnite and its sort of movement towards esports? Has that created sort of a schism, or has everybody embraced it?
So I think there's definitely a schism. I mean, as far as, you know, Epic's support of the game, I feel like they do a good job of listening to the community overall. I mean, are there things that they could do better? Sure. And no company's perfect. And they have a really hard job of trying to make new players happy, and then players who have been playing their game since day one, trying to make them happy. And, you know, no matter what, you can't make everyone happy. So I think overall they do a good job with listening, you know, given how hard of a task that is. So there's always going to be a schism and a divide, and you're never going to make everyone happy with, you know, when it comes to that. But I think overall they do a decent job with it.
So what do you think Fortnite can learn from other games, if anything?
So, I mean, I think Fortnite can learn a ton from other games. And if we just look at what they've implemented from Apex Legends, another battle royale, we can see that there's always something to learn. So, you know, they added the reboot van in Fortnite, which in my opinion is one of the best things that they've ever added to the game. You can bring your teammates back after they, you know, quote unquote, get eliminated. And then they added that pinging system, which makes it easier to communicate with your teammates. So, you know, I think there's always something you can be learning from your competition or from other games.
You know, speaking of, you know, not being able to keep everyone happy, I have to know, are you pro-Brute or are you anti-Brute? And why is there such a divide in the community over this?
I will say I'm really glad that they finally nerfed the Brute. So I definitely thought it seemed a bit overpowered. So they finally, you know, made it less powerful with the recent patch. But I think there's always going to be that schism like we talked about earlier, because you're trying to make new players happy. So they implement this item or this vehicle or whatever you want to call it to help newer players get eliminations and, you know, maybe help them feel like they're, you know, playing at a higher level. But then you also, you know, you have the players who have been around where they're getting killed by this machine and it's really hard to defend themselves against it. So they're not happy about that because, you know, they're not used to dying to something that they might consider overpowered. So I think Fortnite or Epic, they're just trying to, you know, make it a better experience for their newer players. And the players who have been there are, you know, not going to be quite happy about something they think is a bit overpowered. So again, I think that schism is always going to be there. And, you know, Fortnite has a hard job of making everybody happy.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're sitting down with One Shot Girl.
So speaking of new additions to the game and stuff like that, how hard is it to get used to essentially what is an ever-changing meta? I mean, Fortnite is nowhere near the game it was 4 months ago, 3 months ago, 6 weeks ago. I mean, what is it like getting used to a game that is that different that quickly?
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge. And again, like, you know, I'm a casual player, but I try to play the game almost every day, at least, you know, for a couple hours or, you know, a few matches. So I think the key, if you want to keep up with the meta, you've got to play consistently. And again, you don't have to put 10 hours a day in like the pros do, but, you know, you can slowly adapt and adjust to the meta if you are playing consistently, you know, even if it's like a match or two every day versus, you know, if you play once a month, you're going to hop on and, oh, all of a sudden there's the super overpowered robot. Like, what the heck is this? You know? So definitely playing consistently is going to help you adapt a lot easier.
So I got to ask, you know, as someone who is active in the community, what is like the number one thing that you might like to see added into the game, whether it be an item for the game or just maybe a different system?
So I'm a fan of mobility in Fortnite. So I think maybe adding like a cool or outrageous vehicle could be a lot of fun, like a dirt bike or maybe like a helicopter or something crazy, something fun like that.
So just to change gears a little bit, as a, you know, a female streamer and content creator, there's been a lot of stuff in the news about how that difference, you know, how the differences between how male and female streamers are received by the community. Have you noticed anything with your stream about toxicity or anything like that? What's your experience streaming been like?
You know, I honestly haven't really noticed, you know, anything that I would say is different possibly from anyone else. I can only speak to my experience. I can't speak to anybody else's experience. So I only know what I know. So for me, you know, it's just, I think it just comes with the territory. Like, you get the trolls, you get the toxic comments, but I think everyone has to deal with that.
Sure. Absolutely. So, you mentioned that you were a part of the Pro-Am out at the, Fortnite World Cup. What's next? What's on the horizon for One Shot Girl?
Oh my gosh. Right now I am just streaming and I'm so happy. I've been traveling so much over the past month, literally like every single weekend, for the past 4 weeks straight. So I'm just excited to be back home on that daily grind of streaming. But maybe in the longer term, you know, I think it'd be fun to start like a podcast and share my experiences. I started on YouTube and I did some uploads, and then I started streaming, and then I transitioned to Twitch for my live streams, and I'm still uploading on YouTube. So I think talking about the transition and the different platforms, you know, I think I have a lot to share about that, and maybe even like writing a book one day. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That's really cool. I wonder if you could elaborate that on for a moment, because one thing that we hear a lot is, especially pro players, there's a lot of burnout with all the travel and all the work that goes into playing, and you're getting kind of a taste of that. Is there kind of a comfort zone to just coming back home and just kind of getting back to streaming and doing what you know best?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I definitely, you know, it can be exhausting, especially when you have one trip after the other. You know, you come home for maybe like 2 or 3 days and then you're back on the airplane. So definitely, it's nice to be home. It's nice to just get back to my daily routine. I'm someone that really likes routine, and, you know, I'm a planner. So it's nice to just know that, you know, I have the next like couple months where I'm just doing my thing, and that is great for me. So yes, absolutely.
Well, to that point, you had recently done an event here in the Michigan area. Did you get to check out the area? What did you think of Detroit?
Yeah, so I have some relatives in the area, so I've been to Detroit on and off throughout my life. So definitely, you know, love Michigan. I'm also a diehard Wolverines fan, so
yeah. It's nice to get,
living in Ohio, that's got to be tough.
It is hard. It is hard down here for Wolverines fan, but you know, I love Michigan. We were in Woodhaven at Revved Up Fun for the event, and it was just such a great place to have a meetup and play a bunch of games and meet my viewers. So, you know, love Detroit, love Michigan, and it was a blast.
One Shot Girl has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to One Shot Girl for her time. For full interviews, make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, CheckpointXP.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management from Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.